Welcome to another episode of the Pop Culture Roundtable, a podcast that just can't get enough of political rhetoric. In this episode, we talk about Mulan, Iwari, and the boys. I'm Andrew Sale.
I'm Lauren Rubin.
I'm Patrick Hill.
So pepper your lawn with your favorite candidate slogans, because the polling session's open for another episode.
Where's everybody buying these flags from? I do have a confession. I don't hate the flags. I mean, I don't like what's written on them.
Wait. But are you talking about the American flag, or what flag are you talking about?
I'm talking about the red, white, and blue Trump flags.
Okay.
With the thick border.
Uh-huh.
I think they have like a triple star thing. I don't remember.
It's not just the flags. That's his logo. That's his brand.
Yeah.
It's that way on like his yard signs and stuff too.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't hate it. Like, it's, this is not this is not me supporting an administration, but this is me saying that, like, I don't hate the flags. Like, I think
the graphic
whoever
design is not terrible.
So this is what's odd to me. This is
what's
odd to me. Would
you say it is better? It is better than the Make America Great Again branding. Like,
but yeah, like in Times New
Roman.
Maybe,
yeah, or maybe just down, the like, lack yeah of branding. Yeah, maybe that's the better way of saying it.
The thing is, so I do pay attention to this. I have been, so here's two sides of it. One, that makes more sense. The photography coming out of the White House has been awful. If you watch like whoever Obama's photographer was and watch
it was
the
Ann
stuff,
Leibovitz.
Yeah. The shots that were coming out of the White House, every one of them looked like, I mean, they just looked very timeless.
That's
classic,
because
whatever.
Like, Obama could have asked anybody to be his photographer and they would have said yes. Trump can ask people to be his photographer and very few people.
Well I think it's just like
it's
one
just
of Trump's
Eric
cousins.
Trump. Yeah, that's all it is. It's, but like the photography is
somebody's
been
nephew who took a photography
and
class.
And they're on the Kodak one, like the disposable cameras that you would get for your wedding reception.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I have been stunned.
They have to edit out the like cat filter on the side.
I have been stunned at how poor the photography is. But the graphic design elements, it's not that bad. I've definitely seen worse from campaigns. And again, I don't hate the flat. Like, I don't, I mean, every time I see the flag, I cringe, but
the campaign branding is what you're talking about.
I don't hate the campaign branding.
Yeah. I disagree. But that's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
We can just agree to disagree on that and we'll move on. So we like to kick every episode off by going around the table and talking politics. That's how we start every episode.
Do you disagree because you hate one, like the type choice, you hate the layout, you hate the colors, like all of it?
So there's some branding that I think is superseded by the thing that it's branding, and I can't get
you can't
over,
get past it.
I can't get past it. I cannot separate the design from who it's like what it's intended to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the message. And so in that aspect, I think it could be the greatest color palette the world has ever seen, introducing new colors to the spectrum that have never been revealed, and I would still be like, no.
I mean, okay, fair enough. So fair enough. Yeah.
So, Lauren, why don't you kick us off this week?
Yeah. I've had kind of a quiet week. I went to the beach Saturday. That was really nice. We kind of managed to like avoid most of the people since we went to the part of the beach here where you can't drive onto, which is a thing in Texas, in case you're not from around here. Did you guys think that was weird when you moved here, like that you can drive on the beach? Because I'd never seen that before.
No. First of all, I've never been to a beach in Texas. I've never really been to a beach. I've been to like lakes where there's like rocks and stuff, so you couldn't drive anyway. But I'm from Florida, and you can drive on Clearwater Beach.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, and I've been to California where you can drive on the beach. So that all checks out. Yeah.
Yeah, in Galveston, like everybody drives up on the beach. It's totally different than I've seen before.
I guess I know what sand does to my body. And so I just can't imagine what it's doing to like like my car's butthole, you know, like
the sand's all packed in.
I am now imagining your butthole against your car's butthole.
I'm just saying, like,
you have forced that word picture. That is not on me. You 100% put that into my brain. You can't keep that on me.
I just can't imagine drive. Like, I understand why people in Galveston all drive on the beach because they're all drunk. I mean, they'll just do whatever.
No, but if you go there, like, the beach is, like, the sand's really packed in, so you can drive on it. So it's, like, it's not, like, a really soft sand beach either. So that, it's just kind of different.
Have you watched that show that's about, like, the Texas game management something people? Wildlife management people? Have you all seen that TV show? Lone Star Law?
Dog the Bounty Hunter?
No.
Oh, no.
So they literally, like, it's like a reality show that only follows, like, the game and wildlife, whatever, you know, deputies in Texas. But what it shows is it shows the people that are on boats, like, patrolling the coast and at these big 4th of July events. And, like, they're, like, you know, breathalyzing people and arresting them. And it's
like cops. There's
shenanigans. Like,
wildlife edition.
Like, so here's what's weird. Because they're, like, the game and wildlife people.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll end up making traffic stops and they'll get caught out to called out to break up fights. But then they also have to, like, rescue animals. And, like, it's, like, all over the place. I mean, honestly, it points to some other issues with the fact that, like, we're relying on one group of people to perform the work of, like, 10 group of people. And when they probably don't have the expertise to do all that stuff, but it's just fascinating, like, how much stuff they get called out to, but it is absolutely coloring my opinion of basically anything to do with the coast of Texas.
We'll have to take a trip there sometime. It's fun.
I can't.
You cannot.
But see, like, I grew up with real beaches. It would be really hard for me to go to Galveston and expect it to be a beach. Like, I would want it to be classified as something else.
It's still fun. I mean, I guess it's like a gulf, like, technically. I don't know, but it's fun. Like, we had a good time.
Okay.
You can go swimming. The water was nice and warm and
but
all
this,
the good stuff.
This is what you grew up with, though, right?
Me? No, yeah. I grew up in Missouri. So, like, you swim in, like, lakes and rivers.
Okay. That's what I mean. Like, you didn't grow up in a beach. You didn't grow up in a beach town. So, like, this is the most beach that you would have been around, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, my mom lives near a beach now in Florida. And so, but, like, her kind of beach is different. Like, you're right. Like, it's completely different. Like, you would not be able to drive your car on this kind of beach. Like, it's, like, totally even different, like, wildlife at the beach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I'll go to Galveston, but I will be doing it holding the phrase beach very loosely because I have expectations of what a beach is growing up in a beach town.
Yeah. Well, I also lived in Wisconsin where, like, when you go to, like, Lake Michigan, it looks like you're at the ocean and that feels like, and, like, you're on the beach. Like, you know, it's just like a lake beach. It's not an ocean beach. So
they're called leeches. A lake beach is a leech. I don't know if you knew that. There's a little gem for you.
Now I know. Thank you.
You can have that.
I like that. And so while I was driving there, I found a new podcast that I've got to recommend. And I know we're on the trend of recommending other podcasts, but this one only has one episode out so far. So I'm not going to take up too much of your time. But it's called Pin Pals, and it's about enamel pins. Surprise.
There's a whole podcast about enamel pins.
Yeah, and it's definitely very, very inside baseball. So if you are only a consumer of pins, you might not find this very interesting. It's a lot about the ins and outs of getting pins made and things like that. So, and, like, you know, talking about production and all of that good stuff. So
it's up your alley. And is there enough content for more
up your alley?
Is there enough content for a second episode?
Yeah, I think so. So the format that they're doing is it's run by Warrior Pins, who I just found out about, like, through this. But their first interview was with Nostalgia Vault, who I've met at the Patches and Pins Expos before. And so the show format is kind of an interview style. So it's, like, taking different pin makers and asking them, you know, like, how they got started and then, like, some tips and tricks and, like, what are their favorite, you know, types of enamel or all that kind of stuff. So, like, I thought it was really cool, and I'm, like, definitely interested to see who else they'll have in the future. And yeah, if you're a pin maker, I especially think if you're trying to get started.
Is this you trying to make a pitch that you should be on the show?
I would be on the show because I think it's really cool what they're doing. So, like, yeah, I'm very excited to, like, see where this goes because this is at least the first enamel pin podcast that I know about. But it's such a big community anyways. Like, you know, like at all these events, I meet all these people. And, like, I have, like, Facebook groups that I'm in and stuff. But, like, everyone always asks these questions. So it's, like, cool to have now a different resource for people.
Yep. Sure. And that's spelled P-E-H-N, the Pen Pals Podcast.
Yeah, exactly how it sounds.
Perfect.
And other than that, I've just been kind of watching some movies at night. I watched Jurassic Park and Lost World. I'll probably keep watching Jurassic Park movies because it's been fun.
Because you know Patrick kind of, like, has not
declining
seen,
quality.
Patrick has not seen the Jurassic Park films.
Is that true?
Yeah, I just did. Wait, like serious? when I was a kid, they seemed scary, and then as an adult, they seemed like a cash grab. So no reason to.
Wait, you haven't even seen the first one?
No, well, I was.
He has read the book.
That sounds terrifying. I don't like horror movies.
He has read
it's
the book.
It's not a horror movie. This is not.
Oh,
it's not.
Oh, like, a dinosaur chasing you through the woods doesn't sound horrific.
I mean, I don't know. Like, so, like, I would, like, beg to see this movie when I was a kid. Like, I literally, like, had to wait.
Yeah, but
my
you're
mom
a monster. We've decided
I, like,
this already. Like,
you're, look at your life choices. It's yeah, not surprising.
Everything about that checks out. Look at Patrick.
So our, just so you know, our next podcast after Pondering Potter is now going to be Pondering Jurassic Park. Like,
Patrick has seen the Jurassic Park.
I've seen all of them. I've seen them multiple times. I went and watched it when they did a re-release.
I
for
just
like the...
knew that okay. that would get you riled up, and I love that Patrick went along with it.
I just, like, can't imagine that you had seen none of them. I was like, no way.
I want to be an actor. Hey, Lauren, are you ever gonna do you think you'll ever change your glasses, or do you feel like you're kind of stuck with those now?
This is actually, like, I changed these, like, right before I started doing this, so this is, like, they gotta stick around
for a
little
while. Oh,
this
is all we've ever seen of you, is what Patrick is saying.
Yeah, I just, like, is that a tough decision to make? Because you really worked it into your branding, so if you change glasses now, you have to change, like, it's a lot of stuff.
I mean, I've had similar stylish glasses, like,
it's pronounced similar. Go on.
Thank you. I do hate choosing new glasses, though, because I can't see at all without my glasses. So picking new ones is not easy.
We'll just put them on immediately.
Wear your old glasses.
You don't get to, like,
wear
have
your old glasses
your
to try on your new ones. Just do it really quick. Just switch. Just keep your old glasses on as long as possible. Then right before you put the new ones on, take them off. Yeah. There's some residual that carries through, right? Isn't that how eyes work.
Totally.
Next time you decide to change your glasses style, I think you need to go for, like, the super, like, the villain that melts someone in acid. So you need to do the tiny little circles. That's all you need to have.
Just channel your
this
inner.
This will really
Christopher
help me get
Lloyd.
Around in the world. Like, it's gonna be great.
Channel your inner Christopher Lloyd from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That's
exactly.
what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Get
like steampunk glasses.
Get mirror lenses as well, so that they're always.
Oh my.
Reflecting.
Gosh.
Oh, that sounds.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible.
That's how you make a statement.
It'll be really great with my, like, quarantine mask as well.
Your glasses have the big wings on them, so I feel like you would hit them in, like, doorways. And
they're called cat eyes. That's the technical That's term true. For what those glasses are, mm-hmm. Patrick.
All right. I'm assuming you're done with them. I'm assuming you're done.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
You can also
Patrick,
read,
you seem very ready to talk.
You can
so
also
take
read
it away.
That statement as please dear God be done. That's how also you can read.
That wasn't that boring, jeez.
No,
I'm
wasn't.
Assuming you're done.
Okay, so I'm gonna make a weird prediction for right now.
That's okay. Par for the course. Go ahead.
Bella Thorne, I
can you
think,
say it like you're predicting it, like a magical prophecy?
When I get to it, I'll add sparkly music in behind it. So
okay.
Bella
okay,
Thorne
thank you.
Was, I guess, was a Disney star. I couldn't tell you anything about her. Lauren will know all about Bella Thorne. So
that's literally
Lauren.
Like all I know about her is that, yeah, she was on Disney and then what you're about to talk about.
Okay, great. So
I didn't
she's
even
been
know
in
that.
The news the past couple weeks because she joined OnlyFans. All right. And then within a day, she brought in like $1 million or something insane like that.
$2 million.
Yeah, so it's just this crazy amount. So because of this,
can you take a step back? What is OnlyFans?
OnlyFans is where you sell pictures and videos of yourself to people that want to buy them. They're typically sexual in nature.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, it's not necessarily like, it doesn't have to be sexual. But that's pretty much the purpose of it. Yeah.
But like, okay. Andrew, you could sign up for it. You can set your own prices. You can post whatever content you want to. Sweet. And then people can. It's like, it's kind of like an adult Patreon.
Okay.
It is. Literally, that's kind of like what the premise of it was when it was started.
Yeah.
Can you also find, do chefs go on there and post food porn?
I honestly, they should. Probably. Google it real quick.
I mean, there's all different levels of this. Like, some people from like the Real Housewives just post like them talking about like spoilers and stuff. So there's like some of it's just that.
It's becoming this thing where like more and more like the celebrities you know have OnlyFans, like at least in certain spheres, which is anyway.
Especially reality TV.
I should say specifically around reality. I don't think Tom Cruise is going to start one. I don't think he needs to. But around reality TV.
I don't know.
TV.
If you get hard up for cash, really I can maybe see like did. A Seth Rogen maybe doing something like that.
Yeah. And it'll be called Hard Up for Cash. That'll be the name of his OnlyFans. Yep. So Bella Thorne joined. And again, a couple million dollars in a very short amount of time. Here, it has absolutely wrecked the state of things at OnlyFans. And this is the reason it's in the news, is because they used to pay out creators once a week. They used to have no caps on what you could charge and the size tip you could receive. Well, because of this huge influx of cash, now they've put caps on how much money you can take in. They've put caps on the tips. They're now only paying creators once a month. So people that were getting weekly checks now have to wait a month. You can imagine how much that upsets someone's routine if they just, hey, starting next week, you're not going to get paid. And so because of that, a lot of people are very upset. On top of that, Bella Thorne has a net worth of like $10 million. And so she's on there. Mm-hmm. People that are spending money on her potentially are not spending the money on someone else. And so people feel like she's like coming in and just upsetting their livelihood.
The big kind of like upset with it was that she had promised that she was sending like completely nude photos, and she sent like photos in lingerie. So everybody who paid her that like $1 million and whatever asked for it back at the same time, which is what caused all these like issues with their cash flow and why they're limiting all this stuff.
Now,
so it's like,
yeah. So it,
also that,
yeah, it's like totally upset the ecosystem. And then on top of that,
completely.
The question's been asked, well, why are you doing it? And her response was, oh, I'm using it as research for a movie I'm doing with Sean Baker. If you don't know Sean Baker, he's who directed The Florida Project.
Yeah.
He also directed Tangerine.
I have not heard this level.
Yeah, so in The Florida Project, and I feel bad. I haven't seen it yet. But it's
Tangerine Butt?
Yeah, Tangerine Butt. But The Florida Project is a film with Willem Dafoe. Came out, I think, 2 years ago. It looked really great.
That
it got
movie
incredibly
is incredible.
Good reviews. I haven't seen
that,
it yet.
That film took place like where I went to college. Like that, I knew all of those buildings. Like all of it. It was filmed right where I lived for 4 years of my life.
So it was just completely evoking.
Oh, that's really, really cool.
Everything about it. Like I have like chills right now just thinking about it, because it totally brings back like my college memories and growing up like just outside of Disney, but like not in the paradise part of Disney. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
It's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you should watch that movie for sure.
Okay.
Really
good. I mean, and again, it got insanely good reviews. Apparently, like amazing performances, very moving film, The Florida Project. So Bella Thorne said, "Oh, this is research for a project I'm doing with Sean Baker." Sean Baker came out. He tweeted out that he's not doing a project with Bella Thorne. So now there's like a whole nother level of controversy.
Oh my God.
Anyway, it's just insane. So my intention was,
is it possible that she upset the apple cart intentionally because she's not a fan of OnlyFans and intentionally came in to disrupt it? Is that possible?
She's torpedoing it, as it were.
You know what,
as it
yeah,
were.
You know what I mean? Like coming in to upset it as a way to, because if she's not actually divulging like nude photos of herself, which is what she was proposing. Mm-hmm. And I know nothing about this story. This is all speculative based on what you're telling me now. But like, if she was never intending on actually releasing nude photos of herself, maybe she did that in a way to disrupt the people who go to OnlyFans, to disrupt the platform as on its own. Like maybe this was a way
that
to sabotage
like,
or torpedo
that's
it.
That's like mastermind
certainly
level.
Certainly possible, yeah.
That's like mastermind level, so I'm going to say no. But I am going to say I could see where maybe there was whisper of doing something with Sean Baker and she just destroyed that opportunity. That's how I viewed it.
I think it's, I mean, maybe that is like technically possible, but it's also like, from what I understand, like, it was just kind of like, whose definition of nudity are you going by? And like, she felt like that was enough.
Well, it's not, but
I haven't seen the photo, so I don't know either.
I haven't seen it. I don't know. Yeah.
And I can tell you, Patrick is on the front lines of this story because he's still waiting for his $1 million back.
The only form of full nudity I recognize is you know what? Never mind.
No. Go on. We're still early in this episode. This is a great time to put your foot in your mouth.
Here's what I was going to say, but I'm going to need to correct
it
immediately.
The second time.
I was going to say full starfish. But what I meant is the position. Uh-huh. I did not mean the orifice.
Talk to yourself. Play it cool. Just play it cool.
And that is the
oh my god.
That is the clarification that I wanted to make.
Full starfish. If that's not the name of this episode, Lauren, we've messed up. All
right. I'm writing it down right now.
Full starfish.
Oh my god.
Well, all of this was not to talk about this. This was to set up what my prediction is for the future of this type of content. Because now the current has been kind of disrupted. So the normal has shifted slightly, but I did have this thought, and this is now to the prediction. And if this already exists, then I still invented it. It's fine.
You invented it for yourself, and that is something no one can take away from you.
I believe that people are going to get bundled like cable subscriptions. And that's not a sex act. Mm. What I'm saying is that I think that you're going to be able to pay $20 a month to purchase access to like 88 people.
Yeah.
Plus the music channels that no one listens to. So that's the prophecy I wanted to put out. I said all of this just to make that prophecy. And
you didn't even do it with a prophetic voice. Like
and
you said
I
you would.
Recall.
I want my $1 million back.
I want
he
to
said
take,
he's going to add music. I appreciate it.
I want to take a step back too, to one of my previous prophecies. It actually is a couple years old. 3 years old? Oh my gosh, it might be
Patrick's previous prophecies.
And the thing is, someone's going to have to go find it because I'm not going to. A.K.A.
Patrick's podcast, Previous Prophecies.
I said that I thought Netflix would try to move to ultimately fully original content, but I said that the big thing I thought is that within the next 5 years, we would see them have, I put out a number like 50% original content, that they would slowly let licensing fall away in order to prioritize original content because licensing is too expensive. And obviously, if you're the one paying to produce it, it's a one-time upfront cost, but it's not like you're having to pay to maintain a license, and you can't have someone every 3 years jack the price up on you. Back in 2016, they announced they want 50% of their library to be fully original, and I said the thing I said before that. You know, whatever. So this is my next one. You will buy OnlyFans as like a cable subscription. That's my next one.
Okay.
I think there are like pieces of that, you know, out there now, and I wouldn't be subscribed. Or sorry, be surprised if in the future you can't.
And I wouldn't be subscribed if there weren't.
Like subscribe to some kind of service that, like, has celebrities like registered on it or whatever, and maybe you can.
It just gives you access,
in tiers or something. Yeah,
but like the difference is, I don't mean like paying a subscription to a production company that then produces content with different performers. That's not how I mean
it. No, it just gives you access to what these content creators are creating.
Like you can buy one creator, like, or you can buy a bucket of 6 creators, or buy a bucket of 20 creators.
And then you can just choose which creator
you're interacting with. So like it is different. That's all.
It's like when you're buying subscription seats to even Creative Cloud, because I own, for my team, I own the Creative Cloud admin. And so whenever I had to add I can add a new license to it, but then I can assign that a license to whoever. It's similar, but on the consumer end.
Yeah. So on that note, what would you call this service? That's a good Instagram or Slack challenge. What would you name what is, in essence, the adult Creative Cloud?
Patrick wants to know because he wants to be on the front lines of this adult creative.
I mean,
cloud.
I don't know why we're not calling it
and
Starfish.
Where can I find it?
Yeah, full Starfish. You can come in at the baby Starfish, the half Starfish, or the full Starfish, and those are the three tiers.
It's like baby Starfish, mama Starfish.
My adult performer name would be Daddy Starfish.
I can tell you emphatically that I would not subscribe to your channel.
This is why you need to be the first one to sign up, Patrick.
That's true. Get that name. You better lock that down now, Patrick. If you don't have the URL to that, you're missing an opportunity.
I'm going to go buy daddystarfish.com while we're talking. All right, Andrew,
and
go ahead.
In the meantime, just link it over to automatically push it over to Squatchin in the meantime.
Oh, yeah.
Until that career starts taking off. Or at least until you get a full body wax. One or the other. And then you can really, then things could really
Let's
take
see.
Off.
Hello.
Body wax, like even your head.
DaddyStarfish.com is available for $8.88 a year.
Oh my word.
A little sad word. It wasn't like $8.69 or something.
Why, Lauren? What is that? What's the significance of that number? Okay.
I'll explain that on next week's episode. All right, Andrew.
So this week has been a decent week. It's been kind of interesting and lots of weird goings on in the world, at least in my world. But I did get a couple of things, and I am excited to talk about a couple of things. One of the things that I got a brand new car.
Woo!
That's from the America favorite pastime save what's it called?
Price is Right. What were you about to say? The save? Like
there's no telling what I was gonna say. But okay.
I
did,
loved that show growing up. But it was only because I had to hang out at my grandparents' house a lot, and they, like, sucked.
What did you eat while you watched it? Because it was in between meal times, but I'm sure you snacked while you watched it.
I would like to finish my previous statement. It's not that they sucked as people. They sucked at providing entertaining things to do. And the only thing that would ever come on TV I was interested in that they would watch was The Price is Right. And so that was, like, the only time.
I just want to spin the wheel.
And other than that, I was bored out of my freaking mind. As far as eating,
yes,
bologna sandwiches, take a piece of bologna on a plat on a saucer, you cut four slits in it at angles, that goes in the microwave for 10 seconds, comes out, throws it on a piece of white bread. That's what I had every single time at their house.
One single piece of white bread?
Didn't go in the microwave? The bologna?
The bread goes on either side of it. It's a sandwich.
Okay, well, you said throw that on a slice of white bread, and so a slice sounds singular.
You might not need a full size sandwich.
You only microwave the bologna, and then I was allowed to have Sprite or Dr. Pepper. That's the only two things they would have. But you couldn't drink the whole can. They had jelly jars where they'd buy jelly from the store, and then afterwards keep the jar. And there are these little small jelly jars, and it'd fit about half a can of soda. And so that's what I would be given, is a jelly jar of soda, and then my warm bologna sandwich.
Did you, like, ration your little jelly jar of soda to last, like, your entire afternoon?
I had to, because she wasn't, Georgia May wasn't giving me more. And the thing is, if you would go in Georgia May's fridge, there would be 15 open cans at, like, any given time, where she would just keep opening another can and pouring half of it in. I don't know what they did. Also, she had Alzheimer's.
Talk about... Wow, but talk about Debbie Downer. Thanks, man. this is really funny. Let's joke about the snacks that your grandma gave you. Oh, she was sick. I see.
Well, she wasn't sick until later.
You can't present the information.
Your roller coaster of emotions right
what
now.
What I'm saying is I don't know when... You don't know how far it's progressed. So in thinking back on it, it's hard to know...
How much longer
what
did
was
we have?
Quirk?
How much longer did we have with Georgia May before she was no longer with us?
Let me tell you one other story.
Let's say from bologna sandwich.
Please
time.
Tell a nice story about your grandma.
It was just a couple of years. But here's the thing, this is the thing I want to tell you about Georgia May, because you probably don't know a lot of Georgia Mays.
No,
my grandfather married Georgia May. This was his second marriage. His first wife's name was Georgie May. That's what I want
to
let
I know why he married the second one. He didn't want to have to learn a new name. He wanted to be okay if
he had
to stumble on the name that he'd be like, no, I said Georgia May, not Georgie May. You misheard me.
Oh,
and
my
to
God.
Tell you what a strict upbringing will do to, because I just said fool daddy starfish a second ago. Yeah. I wasn't allowed to play with a deck of cards when I was at George May's house because those were from Satan. So this is what you okay. get, parents. Just uh-huh. know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what funny. You are raising if you raise people the way, if you raise your people the way that Patrick's people raised him. Like yeah. That's, this is the result.
Give the kid a full can of Sprite. Come on.
Yeah.
See,
well, you're going to get full daddy starfish.
you can either go full can of Sprite now, or you're going to go full daddy starfish 30 years from now. That's what your two options are. Yeah.
There's no in between.
Oh my word. I had a whole like direction that I was gonna take this and after that I think
derailed.
I just need to move on. So I did get a new car. It has been 14 years since I bought a new car. Woo! So I don't like the process of buying a car because it's a large purchase. No. And it's not even one, like I was asked the other day, like, are you excited? Like the day that I went and like test drove some cars, are you excited? And I'm like, not really, because it's not like a fun purchase for me. It's a functional purchase and it's an expensive functional purchase. And so like I get more excited buying an $80 board game. You know what I mean? Like I get legitimately more excited because that's not a need. That's a want. And so
there's
this
no stakes to it. It's just pure fun.
Right. Like I'm spending my money on something I want. This is like something that I needed. In that regard, I like it. It's much nicer than my last car. Patrick can attest to that.
What kind of car did you get?
I got a 2017 Hyundai Elantra, and it was
lovely.
Like crazy, crazy good mileage. Like I think it has 28,000 miles on it.
Really,
considering
good.
It's a 3-year-old car, like it's under the normal, and it was. One owner, and they bought it in California and drove it in California, which there's a lot of mileage in California, which would imply to me that they maybe didn't drive it all the time. So, anyway, it's much nicer than my old car. It's still trying to get used to it being mine, like feeling like it's mine. But having now a car payment after not having had a car payment for the better part of a decade is like, that's not super great. I don't love that. But managed to get a really good price on it, and I sold my other car and was able to put a decent down payment on it. But anyway, got a new car, so excited about that.
That's awesome.
The other thing that I got the other day is, I know you guys have probably seen these online, especially when all of the Mandalorian, like Baby Yoda stuff first kind of dropped, that they announced all of it. But I picked up this little guy. Can you see him?
Aww.
He's so tiny.
He's so cute. He is part of the. Here's the box that he comes in. He is part of the bounty collection from Star Wars: The Mandalorian, and it's the child. It's Baby Yoda, and there are 6 different poses that you can get. I don't know if you can see the side of the box.
Oh,
it
yeah,
has,
sure.
It has.
How much was that?
Those 3, and then these 3 over here. He was only like $7-8, I think.
So I saw someone, I was in like, I told you I drove back from Cincinnati to Texas, and when I stopped at like a Flying J or something like that, and they had those for sale.
Yeah.
But they wanted like $15 or $20, or like some crazy number
right.
for it.
If you're
it.
At like a gas station, that makes sense. Yeah. Like a travel lodge or whatever, or a travel, what is it called?
Because they're small. They're not very big. Just
Travel America, TA.
It would be worth like $15.
I would pay $15 for it. It's really, really nicely done. The sculpt is done really nicely. I actually follow the artist who did it, and I'm blanking on who it is right now, who actually designed them. But I follow them on Instagram, so it was cool to see that. I don't want to misquote. I think I know who it is, but I don't want to say it just in case I'm wrong.
Maybe we can link it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll try to find it and I'll link to it in the show notes. I'll put it in Notion. But the one that I got is the one where he's smiling real big and he's holding up the little knob that he plays with in the show, if you're familiar.
So
anyway,
cute.
He's going to sit on my desk. He's a great little desk mate. And the box is cool because it's the pram. Do you see that?
I was actually thinking like you could totally make the little pod out of that thing. Like totally.
The 6.
Of course, my brain is like, hey, you could make a thing.
The 6 different, the different. positions that he's in are very, all of them are very cute. So they're worth checking out. There'll be a link to it in show notes. This was one of two they had at Target. There's another one that I want. The him with the bowl is incredibly adorable. So looking for that one as well.
Do you have to like get them at different places? Is that why I said there's only two at Target, or there was literally
no, there
two
were just,
left?
There were only two left when I went to Target. Okay, I imagine, there's no exclusives. There are no exclusives. The other thing, I got a very fun mail day this past week, and I posted some of it on my Instagram. I got a package from our friend Mariana, Landon World, as we've mentioned her quite a bit on the show. But she sent me my package, and with a little something extra in it. And I didn't post the extra stuff because I wanted to show it to you guys first. And then I'm going to post
exclusive.
It on Instagram. So I'll wait until Wednesday when this episode airs to post it on Instagram. But guys, I opened my package, which was bigger than what I had ordered. I knew that there was going to be something extra in it. Opened it up to some bubble wrap, unwrapped the bubble wrap to find these guys.
You got them. We talked about them on the show.
Oh, they're the strong bad guys.
It's the entire the entire PVC Homestar Runner crew.
She had them?
Oh my gosh,
yes.
Those are awesome.
So she had a note in there. Here's Strong Mad.
Yes.
This one is mine.
And here's Coach Z. So she sent me the whole set. She said that she had them in a box, heard us talking about them, and heard me saying that I would be willing to buy them on eBay or whatever, and look whatever, not willing to pay as much as they were going for. She said, "Now you don't have to buy them." And so she sent the entire set. I'm like stoked about it. So these are,
you
it's
know how
crazy.
Sometimes there's people in the world that are so nice and good, they make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah. Literally every other person. I feel terrible about myself all the time, Patrick. You should know this.
That is such a nice thing. I mean,
that's really, really amazing.
I'm struggling with the fact that now you have it and I don't.
Yeah, I know.
But
that's part of why I waited to show everybody.
So can I have that Mondo gold pin now?
No, that doesn't seem like that's a reason.
Can I have the pin from Torchy's?
No, that also seems unreasonable.
Here's the thing. There are so... Can I have that poster that was sent to you from the gallery?
Like, no, I don't. I don't see how these are the same.
There are, every time someone gifts us something, they gift it to Andrew. That's, and I'm not, you have to understand, I'm genuinely not complaining because that is a little bit hyperbole because plenty of people have given me things.
Yeah.
We know that the fact that anybody would give something to us is super kind, and so I would never complain about it. But I have a list. I have a list of things. That Andrew has received or Luke has received,
you ever wondered,
and I haven't.
Patrick is keeping track of every single
100%.
Thing, and
he's
that petty.
He's like Santa. He's got a list, and he's checking it twice. Here's the thing about it, though. A lot of these things, the things that you mentioned, are things that I have personally asked people about.
Yeah,
not
like this example.
Asked
yeah,
for, but I've asked about, like, I specifically maybe like the Torchy's pin. I asked about the Torchy's pin, asked where I could buy one of them. And the guy said, they only give them to staff. And I was like, oh, dang. Well, you should tell them they should sell them. And he said, you know what? Here, take mine.
That's kind of how the Mondo pin worked, too.
The exact same thing happened with Brock when I said, oh, how do I get that Mondo pin? Because Brock Otterbacher was wearing one on his lanyard. And he said, oh, they only gave these to the team. I was like, oh, that's really sweet. When he goes, you know what? Here. And he gave it to me. So, like...
I need to talk to more people.
Yeah, it's all about the inquiry. Like, it. That's it. Like,
yeah.
It's just, that's it. You ask about something. Inquire about the things that you are interested in, and you never know what may happen. And don't expect anything. Like, that's the other thing. Like, don't expect them to say, oh, here, just take this. Sometimes it'll work that way, and that's how it has worked in the past for me.
I've had this happen to me a couple times before, too, and it's just surprising sometimes. Like, people are really nice.
Yeah.
Andrew, where did you get that car from?
I got that car from Echo Park.
Well, they should really start selling those.
Cool. Yeah. Hey, see if it works for you, man. You know what? Go see if it works. I will say I did. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a hard negotiator, but I went in with like my research done and went in knowing things and ended up getting a better rate on the car than I was even able to get online. Which typically when you're getting pre-approved for things, like you can come in at a good rate and they try to jack the rate up on you when you get like in person. And I think I qualified at like a 3.89 online, and I walked away with a 3.7. Like, I paid less for the car in person than I would have if I had just gone completely online. I think it's just about, my personality. Maybe people just feel bad for me. Maybe that's what it is. They look at me, they feel bad, they assume nothing is going right in my life, and they want to do this. They recognize, oh, he needs this little ray of sunshine.
But with complete seriosity and sincerity, thank you, Mariana. That was very, very kind.
Yeah, that's super cool.
And
yeah.
When Andrew's not looking, I will be stealing them.
Sure. I was like, subtext, send Patrick presents.
No. It's okay. I can get into Andrew's
steal
house.
Andrew's presents. Yeah, that's it. He doesn't need anything sent to him. He'll just come here and steal mine.
It'll be funny because, like, I feel like from now on you'll just take like one and hide it in your house until Andrew finds it.
But here's the thing: Patrick knows one thing going awry, one thing going sideways. I will notice it immediately. That's my
But that's why this would be a perfect game.
Not only that, but if you want to get if you genuinely want to see Andrew angry, take something where everything is in its right place and just affect one little piece of it, just upset one minuscule piece or part of something that's all put together, and that's the angriest I've ever seen Andrew.
Wow. Yeah,
that's
other than that time that guy mugged you. Yeah. But other than that, that's the angriest I've seen.
That wasn't anger as much as it was terror.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, it was lots of fear. Did we tell that story on the show?
Oh, I'm sure we told it.
I never heard this, but did you just like watch him get mugged?
Yeah, no. They did nothing. They stood there and watched me get mugged.
I hurled insults. I was like, look at that fat idiot. This was before he lost all his weight.
Yeah, this was about 120 pounds ago. He was not there, but he did see the result of it because I was running back to the hotel. It happened, and to be clear, it was an attempted mugging. I did get away. I did not.
Oh,
nothing
good.
Got stolen.
I'm glad.
But it was.
You did push a man and run.
I did push a man into traffic and run. That is true.
He was trying to mug you.
So yeah, I didn't feel bad about it. But I got back to the hotel room, and Luke was my roommate. I walked in. Luke met me at the door, because he knew what had happened. I had texted. He met me at the door, asked me how I was, and I was still shaky. And I walked in. Patrick and Mackenzie were staying in a different hotel room on the other side of the hotel. I walked in not knowing Patrick had come over to see how I was, and he was standing just behind the door, and I walked in and about had a heart attack because he scared me. I'm obviously already on edge.
Yeah, you're already like way on edge. Yeah.
So anyway, I stabbed Patrick in the mouth.
Which is funny. Like the idea of someone scaring Andrew is so opposite to real life because Andrew loves to jump scare others. Yes. And in fact, Andrew, I came to your house, I don't know, yesterday, day before, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And when I walked in, you were upstairs, but I didn't realize that. So I was convinced you were hiding around a corner. So I was literally like tiptoeing through your downstairs, like
tiptoeing through my downstairs.
And then you were upstairs the whole time.
I love the idea of you tiptoeing through my downstairs. You definitely pinged my fun spot. That also could be the name of this episode. So I guess we have several.
These are Patrick's specialties on his OnlyFans.
Tiptoeing through his. Tiptoeing. I will tiptoe through your downstairs for just $4 a month.
Yeah. No, I'll pay you $4 to let me tiptoe through your downstairs.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. That was all for my week. I did get some games and things. I'm going to talk about one of them during my category. So I think for now we're going to call this one done. Have we upset enough people?
I think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We've
politics,
covered all
sex, grandmothers, great. Like
yeah. Alzheimer's
insulting
patients.
Insulting grandmothers.
Sex.
That's even like
then I think we're gonna call
biting the hand that sends you free figures. Like.
Yeah, exactly. I think we have managed to cover the gamut. So with that, we will call this part done and we will head over to our categories. Our master categories are the time each week when we talk about things in the pop culture sphere that are either new to the world or new to us. Patrick, you saw something.
I think I'm realizing I'm a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, just now?
Yeah, he's been.
Well, I had this thought of like, man, I love people, but sometimes I like purposely getting a rise out of them. And mm-hmm. then I had this immediate other thought of, that's what an asshole does.
Yeah. You are
in a very mean way.
You are full starfish, for sure.
Yeah.
You're being such a starfish right now.
Yeah, I didn't say it's the only thing an asshole does, but. All right, I saw a film.
That's too perfect. You're like a hard transition right now.
I know. Yeah. All right, stick with me, guys.
This to yourself.
I know. Okay.
I'm all laughed out. There's not gonna be any laughter left in this episode.
Great. Perfect. Back to the old format.
Back to the old format. Ah, familiar territory.
All right, I saw the only film. That's not true. A couple films have come out, but the big release, the big the blockbuster, the tentpole, something else, Mulan. And this is the latest live action Disney film. I know people are complaining about remakes and things like that, but the reality is, people spend money on them. Why wouldn't a studio continue to make them? So if you want to spend your dollars on independent films or lesser known whatever, then you'll see more of those. But if people keep showing up and throwing $1 billion at superhero films and Disney remakes, then you guess what you're going to get a lot more of: superhero films and Disney remakes. So we're doing it to ourselves, everybody. All right, so on that note, Mulan. Now the way you purchase Mulan, this is a bit different. It is actually a digital release. So if you have Disney Plus, you can pay to basically unlock the content now, and then you have it.
It's called premium
throughout
access.
This window. Otherwise, if you wait, then I believe sometime in December it'll actually drop, and you can watch it in December on the platform as well. So if you just want to watch it now, be in the know if in this type of window. What is it, Andrew? Like $20, $25?
It's $30.
$30. Okay, that's fine. Well, and then understand this. This is probably a film that I say probably. This is aimed towards kids. Well, kids typically have parents. So if you have parents and kids, $30 is not a lot to spend a night at the movies, especially knowing how kids consume media, which is to watch it 5,000 times until they've memorized every single line.
And now
line.
You can do that, yeah.
And now so from that standpoint, I don't think the price is crazy at all. So anybody online complaining, you're only complaining because it's not a genre you care about. I mean, the fact is, like, we could give you a different film, and you would
if it was
throw
ten.
Yeah, I think everybody has their movie that they would pay $30 for right now.
Exactly.
Like, this might not be yours.
Because you are paying that amount to go to the theater to watch it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. So anyway, so
and if I'd gone to Alamo, I probably would have gotten a pint glass and everything else, and that's another $15.
Realistically, like, if they would have done a pint glass for sure, and I think they even had already like announced some of the artwork for it and stuff and everything. I probably would have spent $50 or $60 on this movie.
Yeah.
So anyway, my point is, don't complain about the price. All right, if you're complaining about the price, you're not the target demographic. So stop. Anyway. So on that note, watch Mulan. Now, I don't remember the animated film very well. I believe I saw it as a kid. I remember aspects of the film, but this is one of those movies that I would have only seen once, and it would have been a very long time ago. It was not the one I liked. As a kid, I really liked Lion King, so I saw Lion King a lot more. I also really liked Pocahontas. I saw Pocahontas a lot more. I did not like Mulan, and so therefore I did not watch Mulan. So I could not tell you, and in fact, I was having to ask Andrew after the fact, I was trying to have to get some understanding of, okay, what plot points did we bring in from the animated film, and what did we add? What characters did we bring in, and what did we add? Because some of my complaints, it's possible, are just callbacks to the original, and so therefore they shouldn't actually be complaints. But I will let y'all upset me right now. So I'm going to tell you how I feel, but please feel free to interject as I get this bit wrong. Here's the standout of the film for me, okay? I don't remember anything about the film. I can't tell you any exciting scenes. I didn't have anything that popped on screen that I just went, oh my gosh, that's so beautiful. It's so striking.
Really?
That could be a poster. I didn't have any, like, no emotional moments. Don't get me wrong. Someone sitting two chairs down from me, I'm pretty sure cried during 50% of the film. So I know that some people this does connect with. So the two female, the two kind of female strong leads, right? We had Mulan, or Sha Mulan.
Yeah.
And was the other girl Zion? Zen?
I honestly didn't catch very many characters' names other than Mulan. I think it was X from before this movie.
I think it was X-I-A-N.
But the characters' names are different in this movie than they are in the original. So,
okay. Some well, are, she, yeah, was, yeah. she wasn't ori- in
or
the original.
Or even Mulan's last name is slightly different.
Right,
but
yeah.
Here's the thing. I felt there was no subtlety to their situation. It felt so, I think ham-fisted is the term. And because there's no subtlety or there's no, let me give you an example. This will be a better way for me to say this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's say that the Zen character, I'm just going to call her Zen because I don't know what her actual name is.
You
and
can
I
call her like the witch or like, I think that's.
But I don't want to call her the witch. That's obviously very rude.
I'm not a witch. Like I'm your wife. I'm not even sure I want to be that anymore.
Thank you.
Yeah. So.
I love that.
Her story could have been that this group of marauders actually looks up to her and actually does elevate her and follow her because of what she's allowed them to do. She could have been someone that had been uplifted by a community. And then what it becomes is this story of Mulan, who feels like she is doing justice and doing good and is being disrespected by her community. But then there's this other camp of people that are seen as the bad guys. But look how they also seemingly respect the women that are within their community. Like the amount of possible, I feel like, conflict there, that's exciting to me. This idea of,
yeah,
you're just a dumb witch and you serve us and we don't need you, but you sucker. And then on the other, like,
I think that your Asian accent there needs work. I'm just pointing out it sounds a little fake.
It's at least as good as Donny Osmond's.
That's fair.
At least as good as Donny Osmond's. So that was my problem, is that I didn't think there was any real conflict. I don't think there was anything really that she needed to decide for herself. So I didn't feel any tension in her arc. I mean, I guess the tension was that, you know, she had to wrap herself and not say she was a girl. But even the way that reveal happened, That's the problem to me. The problem for me with the film is that none of that was compelling because of the way it was laid out. Now, additionally, and this is where I might be missing the mark because I don't understand enough about the cinema that this references or the art styles that this references.
Can I maybe like talk about that point before we move on to another one that's bigger?
Sure.
I do agree with you that I felt like the especially like emotional beats were kind of missing from this version. They relied on the music that kind of has these cues from the original movie, which if you are not as familiar with it, probably meant nothing to you.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind
of... I'm familiar with a few of them. I probably know more of the music than I know more than the...
Sure.
Whatever.
But it's pretty subtle in the movie. So like, I think that was like kind of what they were relying on, and your knowledge of like her more like inner thoughts, I guess. Like I felt like the inspiration for this version of Mulan was the legend of Mulan. And when I sat back, this felt like somebody told me a fairy tale. The characters aren't necessarily really deep, meaningful characters. They are more like archetypes of a person, like of just a general thing that represents like how you tell this story.
Yeah,
and
like folk
traditionally
tales
all these. Yeah, exactly. So like they're not like deep characters. They're just archetypes of characters. And that totally makes sense, I think. And it's also, a lot of these stories are very black and white, so there's no, like, you know, deeper conflict with this witch, I think, because of things like that. And I was a little relieved because I thought they were only introducing that character so Mulan would have a female villain to fight, because there's always this thing in movies where, like, females can only fight other females, and they
beating up a woman.
But that doesn't make sense when you're talking about like superheroes, and it kind of like does get under my skin. And so I was glad that like at the last fight is actually like Mulan versus that. It's not Shen Yun was his name in the animated one. I forget the new name.
The head Hun guy. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't the Huns in this movie.
They were the Dothraki.
They were called the Robons because
Rorons or something.
Rorons or something because it sounded like morons.
Yeah, I know.
It sounded like robot morons.
I don't know if that was a choice that was intentional, but that's kind of like what came off to me. And I think it's really funny I'm ending up defending this movie because I usually hate all the Disney remakes.
but the deal is, this is the reason I'm going to reference the, for instance, the art style. All the sets were so clean, but they were also artificial looking. I mean, every set that the main sets they set in, just looked like they were standing on a soundstage. And again, this is, I don't understand enough about the cinema it pulls from or the art that it pulls from to say, okay, I can clearly tell that they made this decision because, you know, this person over here made this decision. Mm-hmm. So I am fine with my ignorance on that part. But what I'm saying is, you have a studio that's putting out a film that film is targeting a younger audience, I assume. It's targeting a younger audience.
This movie didn't really feel like it was to me, because it almost feels like a war movie.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that I should have to have a degree in film studies to understand why this decision was made and then be able to appreciate it. This is one of those films I do think the general public should be able to see and resonate with pretty easily. And I just didn't think there was anything there. That was a very bland story. And again, I cannot think of a single moment in the film that I had like a wow, or a single moment in the film that I went, gosh, I want to rewind and watch that again. It just didn't happen for me. I just think it's a very bland film.
I genuinely think that this film was really visually stunning, which is what kind of saved it from being a, like, sort of surface level story in a lot of ways. Cause like, I think that like extra cleanliness, even in like, you know, ancient China settings, is just kind of what makes it look somewhat animated, like a cartoon. And it like sort of exaggerated, more colorful than real life. But that is because of its, you know, origin story of like being a cartoon. And I think like as the movie moves forward, they do it less and less. But like, it doesn't bother me that that's like part of their visual reference in this.
It starts off super vibrant, like super vibrant, especially when you're in the Imperial City and you're all these things. Everything like super vibrant, greens and blues and reds. And then the movie takes a tonal shift towards the middle, where there's lots of grays and yellows and
red
brown.
Because of all their uniforms.
But then when she comes back around after the avalanche, and she comes back and she's wearing, her red is like the most dynamic color. And it's, I think visually it made a lot of sense, like showing that she was, you know, as storytelling wise, that phoenix. Because the phoenix you don't see until after the tones of the movie get much more subtle and subdued. You get that phoenix, which is a stark contrast to that. And then she is meant to kind of represent that phoenix moving forward into the back half of the movie. I thought that there was a lot of visual symbolism. I thought that even though I didn't resonate with the film as much as some other people who were watching it with us, I still, like I said to you, Patrick, like, it's not my favorite style, but I like that this movie that is an Asian-inspired movie, and I think, I don't know who the filmmaker is, but it felt very much in line with these large-budget Asian war movies. Like, how they presented it is how they presented it in other films, and so from that aspect I could really appreciate it.
So
I think the fights were all very cool. I'll say that straight up, they were very cool, especially towards the end.
I actually think the fights reused so many pieces of choreography that it got frustrating for me to watch as well. Here's the thing. There is one standout, and that's costume design. I would not be surprised if this gets nominated for costume design, because that was stunning, especially the witches. Her outfits were just insane. So yeah. I will concede
that will be at like every convention from now on, and I can't wait to see it.
I concede that the costume design was great. And there is something else I've seen people complaining about the CG on the Phoenix, but I actually don't think it's bad CG. I think what you're seeing is it's animated to fly almost like a kite would move in the sky. And people are taking that as it's like bad CG. I think you're missing the point of what they're trying to evoke with that look. Now, Andrew, I don't think actually necessarily liked that choice, but yeah,
it felt fake. Now, if you say that it looks like, and if what they were trying to do was have it look like a kite, like a paper kite, then I can get on board with it a little bit more. But they didn't do anything in the movie with paper kites that would make me think that was an intentional direction. I think it just looked a little fake.
I think that the reason they maybe did it, and this is just like my interpretation, is that it's like supposed to be like, is it real or is it just her imagination? And where it's like, is it just something that you actually recognize or is it this creature? You know, like maybe that's what they're playing with. Yeah. But I agree that like, I didn't love the Phoenix. I know this is dumb. I wish it was a dragon because of Mushu. Like they borrowed a lot from the original movie. I would like to just know what the decision making was to change that. I don't really understand why.
One of the excuses was that they wanted to keep it more realistic by pulling
out
Mushu.
That's ridiculous.
I know. Like, I told this to Andrew. I am glad this was not like a musical. I am glad they pulled out the music. Of course, there's a lot of people that consider this like one of the best soundtracks, you know, animated film soundtracks.
I love the music, but I like what they did with that music in this version because this is not the same movie.
Yeah, I would be fine with more kind of, you know, if we're going to get more remakes, that's the reality of it. I would be fine to see more remakes that don't feature 8 songs, you know, in a coinciding CD release. I was fine with all that.
It depends for me.
But, and in fairness, going back through and listening to the music, it would have been really hard to work the music into the movie. Although
with the
I would
tone
like
that
to
they went with, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They would have had to just rewrite it all. So anyway, so all that said, found the movie bland. I would have trouble recommending this to someone, honestly. Like, I have a tough time even believing that kids will enjoy watching it.
That so, I'm very curious to find out because it doesn't feel like
obviously
kids' movies.
Yeah, I can't speak to whether or not a kid would like it, but I don't think Patrick as a kid would have liked it. So
well,
I think
Cooper,
I
watched Jurassic Park
mind.
When I was 10 and loved it, so maybe I would have liked it.
Oh, have we told you that Patrick hasn't seen those Jurassic Park films?
Oh, yeah, I heard earlier.
Cooper sat and watched the whole movie. Now, I wouldn't say that he said it was his favorite one, but he had his phone, and he wasn't like on his phone playing games the whole time. Like he actually watched it. So I think there's enough visually to see what was going on, you know?
Yeah. So what? I would like to hear y'all's ratings because I think we're gonna be all over the place.
One thought before I give the rating. So Mulan as a story, its first origin is not the Disney film. There is a folk tale of Mulan, and several of
and this the, feels like that.
Se-
to me.
Right. So this is I would say this is a combination of the original folk tale and the Disney adaptation of that folk tale. This is adapting a story and meshing those two worlds together. So that's important to know because I think a lot of people will think that like, well, why'd they make that artistic different like change if it's still owned by the same property or whatever, whatever. Well, they took artistic liberties. Our friend, Tony Bancroft, was the director. Tony or Tom Bancroft? Now I'm questioning myself. One of the Bancroft brothers was the director of the original Mulan film. And so there is some artistic direction that was even taken or artistic liberties or freedoms that was taken when they did the original one in 1998 based off of the folk tale. So it's important to go into this one knowing it's not going to be exactly like the one that we saw, but the one that we saw in 1998 wasn't exactly like what the actual story is either. So this is a meshing of those two together.
There be spoilers ahead.
Let me throw out a big spoiler here for this moment because I realize some people will be listening to this and we haven't really said much that I would say is spoiler.
No,
at
we
this
haven't
point.
Spoiled anything actually.
Also, yeah. I think most people have seen the original, so you like any. There's no huge change, like you know, that really is like a huge surprise.
I think there are a couple of huge changes, but we
the
don't need to
speed
say that
with yet. Which the armies were shooting the giant tar balls blowing up
the
people.
Said the same thing.
And then all of a sudden she's able to teleport across like several football fields in length up a mountain, distract them. Like the whole chronology for that scene frustrated me.
Okay.
Is that what you're talking about? How like quickly all that happened, Lauren?
Oh, no, no, no. Just like how fast they could move that like catapult. I'm like,
oh, yeah. Really? But even how fast they could move the catapult, how fast she was able to get up the side of the mountain.
Okay,
how,
that like, doesn't bother me because she has like supernatural speed, fighting powers, whatever. So like it's magic. I would, so you can do whatever.
So see, I would
like,
say that's a bit of a spoiler because that's not in the original.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's well, what I just said. Yeah, but.
When that's the reason I already said spoiler. Uh-huh. So. I'll throw in the audio spoiler tag. It'll be fine. So there was some small things like that frustrated me. But for the most part, I was fine with everybody's movement. You know, the suspending belief for some of the actions and stuff, that wasn't an issue. Again, this is the type of movie I don't feel like you should have to have a lot of background to enjoy because of the audience it's for. And that part of me would just say this movie's far too bland.
I don't think that it necessarily does require that. I think you can enjoy the story separate from it. I think you maybe just didn't like the story.
Oh, I did. No, right, and again, I just don't think it's compelling. I didn't find the story compelling. I didn't find the conflict compelling, and I didn't find the resolution compelling. I just genuinely did not find it. I thought the movie was cast well.
Well, give you a rating. But I just did not find it compelling. Then, and then we'll give our ratings.
Yeah. So this is probably a 4 for me. Okay. I mean, I will not revisit this. Yeah, it's.
I'm just curious, where do you land on the other Disney remakes?
I mean, of the Disney remakes I've seen, this is the one I've liked the least. So I mean,
which one do you like the most?
Like, gosh, I have to remember which ones I've seen.
Beauty and the Beast.
Which ones? I've seen Beauty and the Beast. I've seen Lion King.
You've seen Aladdin.
I have not seen Aladdin, and Andrew, going into this one, you were saying Aladdin was your favorite before this one.
Yes, of the remakes. Yep.
So I have not seen Aladdin. Now, Mackenzie liked Aladdin enough that she's watched it multiple times. Mm-hmm. So I know she really likes it, but I've seen Beauty and the Beast, and I've seen The Lion King, and I would say that, I would rewatch.
So you haven't seen a lot of them?
No. Mm-hmm. I think just those two are all I can think of right now. And I don't know that I would want to rewatch Lion King, although I think Lion King got overly criticized, especially considering Lion King's art style. But I would rewatch Beauty and the Beast. But I don't see myself rewatching Mulan.
So you gave it a 4.
Just curious.
Lauren, what would you give it?
I'd say, like, okay, so I don't really care for any of the Disney remakes. The only one I really like is Cinderella. And it's because it did something similar like this movie did, where it is not very beholden to the original one. It more or less took the slate and wiped it clean and did what they wanted to do and made it look really pretty and made really great casting choices and like just kind of, I feel like rebooted it, you know, like it's different. It's not the same. So I did like this one probably equally to that. And I would say maybe like 6.5, 7. Cause like, I still agree that it kind of like falls flat emotionally. I wish like I could remember any of the characters' names other than Mulan, like because they just didn't say them very much. Like the other soldier characters are a lot more fun in the animated version, and I wish like you got a little more time with them. But I really liked looking at this movie, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I was expecting to. So I'll stick with that.
If they had some type of exhibit where I could go tour and see the costumes for the film, I would pay money to do that.
Beautiful. Like, sure. And the like shots of the like, you know, hills and stuff in China were also just beautiful, and the mountains. I thought it was very pretty film. I said this is beautiful probably 5 times out loud while we were watching it.
Yeah, and it highlighted lots of like the different Chinese
cultures.
Like, yeah, like lots of their different geographic locations as opposed to just one or two. Like it highlighted China as a country quite a bit. And so the other thing, so the way that I would rate it, and this is like something that I was thinking about, and I've been thinking about like whether or not I'm allowed to say this, but I think I am because it's just kind of my perspective on it. I also felt like the acting or the story felt a little bit flat, but this was also done by an entirely Asian cast, and the Asian culture is more subdued in their delivery of things than I would say an American culture would be, like what I'm used to. Like extreme highs and extreme lows are not what you would what you would partner with Asian.
Sure.
You know, Asians as a people,
like
or
culture. Yeah,
or their
yeah.
culture, right? They tend to be mm-hmm. a lot more subdued. They tend to be a lot more controlled in their responses to things. And so I wonder if we're feeling that as part of why we think the emotional pull wasn't there, because there weren't as many high highs or low lows. And so that's just a theory I'm putting out there. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't think that's insensitive, but I think it is. I think it's something to think about. But as far as the story is concerned, I wanted the same kind of thing. Like I was hoping that, I know that it was going to be a phoenix going into it. I knew Mushu wasn't going to be into it. Wasn't going to be in the movie. I was hoping we would get like an Easter egg of Mushu in something, but there mm-hmm. there wasn't anything like that. It wasn't an Easter eggy kind of film.
Wasn't on the other side of the temple when she's like sitting with her dad a dragon statue? Or I couldn't quite tell.
Well, there were several dragon statues, but I mean something more identifiable as like this is Mushu. You know, like this is definitively a Mushu.
Was there
emblem he gave her just could have been a dragon like that. That's all I needed. Like,
what about a locket with Eddie Murphy's face?
And that's what perfect. I was looking for.
something a little bit more Mushu.
I think I would probably place this movie. I said that I liked it a little bit more than Aladdin. I'm going to go back on that and say that I put them in the same place. I'd probably put them at around a 7.5 or 8. I think they weren't. They didn't give me everything I wanted, but the parts that it was lacking, I'm holding to the fact that there's like a cultural disconnect for me on those things.
Yeah. And I will say, like, once I like stepped back and thought of it more as like the telling of a folktale, the kind of less emotionless, like the emotionlessness bothered me less because it's like, it's not really meant to be this deep dive into these people. It's this legend.
It's a story.
It's, you know, yeah, like they're just archetypes. They're not people.
Right.
So that
which is also what makes it okay for me. Cause I had that same thought. It's what makes it okay for me.
It's just, what is that your intention? I'm not sure.
Names. Like in the three different mm-hmm. tellings of Mulan has three different names. So like normally that would bother me. Like, why are you changing her name? Her name is supposed to be blah, blah, blah. It's not supposed to be anything. What we're trying to do is tell the story about this experience, and these are the characters we're using right now to tell that experience.
Yeah.
And the experience kind of transcends the characters. And so from that aspect, I was okay to kind of to be okay with that. So yeah.
Well, now that I know that the Beast in Beauty and the Beast is played by Alexander from Eurovision, A Song of Ice and Fire.
That is Dan Stevens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I just want to go back and rewatch Beauty and the Beast. That's all.
It's really funny to like look at pictures of him in the Beast costume. That's kind of my favorite part of Beauty and the Beast.
Because he's got like the big giant feet and like the big shoulders. Yeah, he
looks completely ridiculous.
All right.
Oh man. Oh man, Andrew.
You want me to take it?
Andrew, sure.
Okay. All right. So I got a game that I backed on Kickstarter a long time ago, and it is finally in. And I'm going to show it to you in different pieces. Did you hear that? That's the first piece that I broke. Just kidding.
That's the authentic sound of boxes falling.
It is. And it fell onto my pencil holder. So now there's pencil drawings all over it. But here's the box. Here's the cover of the box. It's called Iwari. And I don't know if you can see it.
Nice.
But it is very nice.
That's got that like spot UV or whatever on it,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. This is the deluxe mm-hmm. edition of the game. The artist in the game is Matisse Mizak. And the game designer is Michael Schacht. I think I'm totally butchering their names, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah.
But it's put out by Thundergriff Games. They've done some other games that I've talked about on the show before. But here is the synopsis of the game. Humanity is in its infancy, living in scattered tribes in the forest, tundra, coast, glaciers, and desert. On Iwari, there are no teeming masses, no continent-wide civilizations. The tribes have left their ancestral homelands to explore the vast uncharted territories, encountering other fellow tribes and exchanging knowledge, culture, and wisdom. The way the game works is it's an abstract-like Euro game where players represent different tribes who endeavor to define their identity by traveling and expanding settlements into five different types of territories in a strategy game. And so that's how the game kind of functions. So if all of that sounds like gibberish to you, you're probably not a big gamer. But so if you do play games pretty regularly, some of those attributes will kind of key you into how this game functions. I have not played it yet, so I'm just now kind of getting into the rules of it. However, I'm going to show you some of the really, really cool components of this game. So at some point, you as a character will be building totems, and each character gets a set of these totems that are each hand, like they're all hand done and hand painted, and they stack on each other. I don't know if you can see that. I'm showing you. We'll post a picture to this in show notes. But each character gets a stack of 8 of these. And they each one is its own sculpt. You see, it's like a different, it's not just different colors. They have actually like different sculpts.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And you're kind of taking control of these different territories around the board. Now let's talk about the board for a hot second. Typically, when you get a game board, you get a board that is usually one-sided. Sometimes you get a board that is two-sided. Some of the games we've been talking about recently are a double-sided board, which either in like the case of Scythe is a one side is a smaller version of the map, the other side is a larger version of the map if you want to expand the map. Sometimes you get a double-sided board because it allows you to have two variations of gameplay. One right. is laid out one way, one is laid out the other. This game comes with a map that is two-sided. I'm going to try to fold this out to show you. It's two-sided. As you can see, right. it's territory-based, Whoa. Right? It's a land map that
That's
has lots
massive.
Of... lots of.
Looks kind of like the Scythe map.
It is very
bit.
Similar to the Scythe map in its kind of layout, right? It's yeah. it's a territory-based... icon-ridden map where you're going to be moving around different places trying to take control of different things. That's one of the four boards this game comes with.
What?
There is board number two, board number three, and board number four.
And each is a full-size board, so it's not like these are like player mat size.
No, each is a full-size board, and each map and each board is double-sided. That means there are eight variations of territory maps that you can play with. Here, look at how that stacks up.
It's like
a lot of boards.
So you don't interconnect them.
No.
That's just how many different you can see. This is one of those moments where maybe one of the soft, like the play mats might have been like the rubber
neoprene?
Boards. What are they called?
Neoprene.
Yeah. This is a time where neoprene might have been pretty nice to have, but.
Well, except
well, would it fold up so nicely like
no,
that?
No, you would have had to have
like
a...
You have to like, yeah.
You would have either have had to have a tube that was massive to fit all eight because the neoprene probably wouldn't be double-sided. No, it could be double-sided because I think...
It could be double-sided.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't weigh 20 pounds.
It wouldn't weigh 20... Well, it might. Those neoprene mats are not light.
Forget neoprene. Yeah. We don't like it.
Yeah, neoprene's the worst.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm just saying, in the case of this game, I actually think this makes more sense for what they're trying to do. And then you have this other board that is a tracker board. Yeah. And on the back side, it's a different tracker. So I think I got the deluxe edition. And if I remember correctly, that means that I have like an expansion to the game. I don't know what the difference is because they packaged it all together. This is called the deluxe edition and everything. Unlike the game I talked about 2 weeks ago, came in the box and has a spot in the box. But the pieces to this game are phenomenal. There are some meeple style pieces as well that are all painted, like screen printed pieces, and they're all like custom cut. There's tokens. There are metal tokens. There is a metal diecast, like a pressed large coin of some sort. I'm not even sure what it is.
So it seems like this is what you would expect from a deluxe edition.
This is what you would expect. It comes with this too. Look at this, Patrick. You're going to like this. It is a die-cast totem with all five of the different totem pieces represented. It is
That's
like
cool.
a copper...
this stuff's like not... like. So we see a lot of games that either use very simplistic tokens or they reuse tokens from other games.
Right.
So if you play enough, you'll start going, oh, these pieces are just like the pieces from over here.
Yes.
And these are just like the ones... Or like you'll see it's the same mold, but one's 20% smaller than the other game that you're playing. Mm-hmm. This stuff is all super unique and super intentional. And
there is
like,
this
is an impressive amount of effort and design that has gone into
Absolutely. This. There's a whole bag I'm not going to lift out of here because there's all the tokens that are in there. But there's a whole bag in here that have... Well, I'll just take it out and show you. May as well. This is full of the different colored meeples. And the meeples are... each character is given a color, but then each character is given a different style of building, and the meeples are different styles of building.
And they're all painted. Oh, wow. Is anything in there not custom?
Anything?
To this
there's
game?
Nothing in here that's not custom. No, everything is custom to the game.
Because even like you'll just say, okay, everything's custom except like your trackers, and those will be little cubes that you see all over the place.
Nope.
Literally every piece in this game is custom.
Yes. Here are some of the characters that you play with. I'll just show you these real quick. They're upside down. You see the characters. That's a location. Here we go. These are the character cards.
Oh, that's the girl from Frozen.
Yes. Yeah, that's Elsa. look at that guy. That guy is awesome.
That's cool.
The Lich King from World of Warcraft.
And then...
I thought you were going to say Lord of the Rings.
There's other ones. I don't know where... I was hoping to... Oh, no, that isn't a location. That is a character. That's the one from the front. That's a character. And I'll show you one more character, and then I'll move on to the locations, because the locations are beautiful. Look at this guy. This guy is freaking rad.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's like the woodland
and
character.
Very stylish. I mean, don't get me wrong. It has very clear kind of board game vibes in that, like, it's not like an art style we haven't seen before, but clearly someone very talented.
Oh.
Like, everything's super well done. Everything looks very clean. Everything looks so clean. And, like, the iconography on the cards looks really clean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so tailored to this world, too. Kind of once you're in it, like, it's very immersive. These are the location cards. They just are these beautiful, like, landscapes of locations. Like, look at these things.
That's cool, yeah.
A swamp. Here's, like, a waterfall area. And so...
So we've talked about this on the show before. We talked about it a lot with Josh Emmerich. You have some artists that are very talented illustrating, but then terrible at iconography or terrible at, like, like, direction giving within a game. And in fact, I think we also had this conversation a little bit with Stonemeyer, but we had it a lot with Emmerich. And so that's something we'll see too. We'll see, like, oh man, the artwork's great, but, like, the iconography makes no sense, or it's not helpful, or it's, like, tacked on.
Yeah.
And, and now again, if you haven't played it, we won't know for sure how well it all lines up,
right.
But just looking at it, everything still looks great quality across the board.
Very, very high quality. The gameplay, I'm hoping, matches the quality. It does seem a little involved. So I do have... It comes with two rule books. And it doesn't say, like, Iwari expansion rule book. They both literally just say Iwari rule book. And they're... Like, the artwork
really
is
pretty, too.
Yeah, they're very pretty, very well done. So I don't know what the difference between these two rule books is.
That was like Runway Groot on the front of that one. That's like, yes. If you turn...
Bring it to the runway, Groot.
Uh-huh, exactly. If he was on Project Runway. So Iwari, I know we've been talking a lot about this in this episode, and you can't see what we're talking about. Go find it in our show notes so you can see it, because it is beautiful. I'm going to go check out the artist and follow the artist, because the art in this game is phenomenal. But Iwari, Iwari, is the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's ready for you to pick up yet, because, like I said, I backed it on Kickstarter and I just got mine. But I imagine sometime in the very near future, you will be able to purchase this game outright. And I think you absolutely should, because it is very, very pretty. Unless
It's on Amazon. I'm not saying you can buy the deluxe edition, but it is on Amazon right now, and you can buy it from their retail site.
Perfect. How much is it for how much is it for retail?
So again, I'm sure this is non-deluxe, but it looks like it's $55.
Sure. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. That makes sense. And for $55, the kind of components you get in this game, if they're similar to what I have, are very, very worth it. Like, it is very well done. So okay, I think that's it for me. Lauren, take us home.
Okay. This is funny, because we were talking about things that piss you off earlier, like, that are offensive, and I got, like, the number one target, The Boys. Have you guys watched the show?
I have not watched season 2 yet. I haven't even finished season 1 because I was so appalled by how gross this show was. I'm kidding.
Really?
I'm kidding.
Oh, I
yeah.
need to
I'm
watch
kidding.
It.
I haven't finished it, but that's not why I haven't finished it.
So you're partway through season 1, and Patrick, you've never heard of it?
I've seen the trailers for season 1 and season 2. I'm aware of it. I know there's some controversy right now because they were advertising The Boys within the latest UFC video game, and there was, like, a big frustration about ads after the review period. But no, I have not watched the show at all.
Oh. All right. Well, I'll give you a little synopsis. So The Boys is another superhero show, but it is like extremely like satire based, like making fun of superheroes. This is not like a like fun, happy superheroes. This is not that. This is taking what you know about superheroes and just completely flipping it around and turning it on its head and making something new. So it is based on a comic book, and this is one of the rare occasions where I have not read the book that it's based on, but I love the TV show. I understand that it's pretty different from the TV version, but I've only really spent time with the TV version and only flipped through the comic book, so I can't really speak to that side of it. But the TV show has the Seven, which are basically your Justice League types, and they literally have like one-offs of like Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman and Aquaman that are in the Flash, that are like, you know, their representation of them. And then you are with the titular boys, who are kind of the like reject superheroes, if even they have powers, but they are the guys trying to take down the Seven because they are extremely corrupt and full of psychopaths. And a lot of the show kind of is the like behind the scenes of what it would take to have a superhero now. So you see a lot of like the advertising that goes into it, the messaging they're trying to like put to the public behind these superheroes. They're very like corporate identities, much more than like even just superheroes. So this show takes a shot at pretty much every single thing there is to take a shot at. It takes a shot at the government. It takes a shot at Big Pharma. It takes a shot at the Me Too movement. It's like gross, both like physically and psychologically. It is disgusting. It's diabolical. It's very fun. Like, it is the like nihilistic satire that 2020 like wants you to have, because you just get to watch like Carl Urban punch everybody in the face.
Who is Carl Urban?
He plays Billy the Butcher, and I know him as Éomer in Lord of the Rings, but he's also Bones in the new Star Trek. He's in a lot of stuff, but like
all nerdy things.
Yes,
I still don't remember.
He was in Thor Ragnarok. He's in Thor Ragnarok. That's probably what you would know.
He's
him
the
from.
One that's
he's,
like
Scourge.
Yeah, he says the whole like, "Behold my stuff."
Yes, yes, that guy. That guy.
I'm still trying to picture who
he
plays.
He has the machine guns.
I'm trying to picture who he plays in The Boys.
Oh, I see.
The Billy Butcher, the like, he has like black hair and a beard, and he's like very gruff. The guy with the Scottish accent.
Diabolical. Okay, I see. All right, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Why do all of your Scottish accent sounds a lot like your Australian accent, if I'm being honest?
Yeah, can you say Jennifer Lopez?
I'm not
Lopez
that good at accents,
Scottish,
I will fully
please.
Admit it.
You're really good at Australian accents, and I think that's why it comes out when you're doing other ones too.
Probably. It's the only one I've like attempted to practice it anyway.
It's diabolical, mate.
It's Jennifer Lopez.
That is the best. I wish Jennifer Lopez was in The Boys. That would be amazing.
But then it would just be
that's
the people.
All it's missing.
True.
Really bringing the heat today, Patrick, with your jokes. Goodness
I like
gracious.
It. Season two is taking off right where season one left off, like minutes afterwards. We're going to get some new superheroes because some things happened in the last season. It's exciting to see like new people for sure to like shake things up. And it does seem like there's going to be like some good shakeups. And this season got like extended from last season. So they got like two more episodes, which kind of goes to show that it is pretty popular, even though it has pretty bad rating on Amazon. I noticed it only had 3.5 stars. But, like, I think it's just because it pisses off a lot of people and makes you really uncomfortable.
I feel like I should try this show. I feel like I should give this
show
a shot.
I can't believe you haven't yet.
Yeah.
It's very fun.
I keep getting distracted by it. I just forget that it exists. But I know that I got excited about the season two trailer, even though I haven't seen season one. So but then I also need to check out the, like, that Nazi Hunter show.
Yeah. Hunters.
Hunters. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I've just got...
Yeah,
I need to spend more time on Amazon because those are both on Amazon, right?
Yeah,
It has more than Marvelous Miss Maisel, Patrick.
Does it though?
Amazon is more than Miss Maisel.
I need to. Well, I guess I need to go find out.
That's their new slogan. It's Amazon Prime more than Maisel.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's true.
Is that it?
Yeah, I would recommend The Boys over Hunters if you were only going to watch one. I think you might like it more, but both are good shows.
I think he would like Hunters more, actually.
Okay.
Because of the subject matter. Because Patrick is into like historical fiction stuff.
Yeah.
He would like hunters also, slightly more than the other one.
I just like how much like they do take like a like very granular, realistic version of superheroes where it's like taking them in between their press conferences and like showing them at photo shoots and things like that, which I do think is kind of like a fun business side of it that like Patrick.
I'm not disagreeing. I think he would like both of them, yeah. But if he was only picking one, I think if you only ever get to watch one, I think Hunters is a better choice for you and your personality.
I also need to, there's that show that I've just noticed on Netflix. It just came out, I think this week, called Away. And it's about...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Space.
Yeah, it's Hilary Swank. And she's embarking mm-hmm. on a mission to Mars. And I love space. I'm excited to start that one as well. So now I've got...
And you're a huge Swankophile, if I remember correctly.
That's what we call ourselves. we yeah.
If that's not like what her fans call themselves, that is sad because that's really good.
Yeah. I do want to make a correction real quick about Iwari. I said that it was available to buy. That's wrong. It turns out that there are other basically versions of Iwari that have been released previously. The version that you have, Andrew, you can only pre-order, and you can only pre-order the non-deluxe, and you have to do it. You can go through the Kickstarter and do it from the company's website. But the version you have is apparently different than...
Not available right now.
Yeah, so if you look up Iwari on BoardGameGeek, it's going to bring up a version that's available. And the artwork, like the front of the box, looks very similar. But that's apparently different. And there's actually a separate BoardGameGeek listing for the version you have.
Okay.
With like a separate rating and everything. Well, those are selling on the secondhand market for like, I think I was seeing like $200-something on eBay. They're selling.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense because I know I paid more than $55 for this.
Yeah.
And the pieces mm-hmm. alone like tell you it's really, which is why when I heard it was $55, I was like, wow, that's really good. Like, it's a really good value.
Now, again, the non-deluxe, I think, is going to be a lot less, but you'll have to pre-order that through the company's website. If you want to buy the version Andrew has, I think you have to hit up eBay and you need to have a couple $100 ready.
Just go to our website or go to our website and find the show notes because we will put the links to the appropriate things in there instead of having to try to track it down.
By the way, Andrew, I really like that Iwari board game you have.
Have you heard of it?
They should sell them.
You know, here's something that I don't know you guys have heard about, and I want to just do a quick nod to, and then we'll head out of this episode. Have you guys heard about Ted Lasso?
Never.
I feel
I'm loving it so,
so
much.
Equally angry and vindicated at the same time that once now Patrick is on board with Ted Lasso, now everyone's talking about Ted Lasso. But the week before, when I was all about it and I presented it to the crew as being a new thing, no one could give a rip about it.
You gotta learn how to sell it.
Well, you were the first person I heard it about it from, to be honest.
Me? But like, it took 2 weeks for people to get on board with it after I said it. And now everyone is like, and Patrick is coming in like, I told you. I'm like, F you, Patrick. That's what every time you read that in Slack where you're like, yeah, I told you it was good. I'm like, hey, shut your mouth. I told you.
So it turns out we both keep lists of our own.
Yeah. Big dumb jerk. Anyway, if you haven't seen the newest Ted Lasso, it's fantastic.
It's pretty good. You're not going to like
Lauren.
It. Oh, that's not
Lauren,
true.
tell people where they can find our Potter stuff.
You can just go to the M of One podcast on our Instagram, and we've got trivia every week. We literally just had a winner while we were doing this podcast for our last one.
Oh, heck, yay. What were the questions this week? Yay. What are the other questions?
Hang on 1 second.
Had a little peek behind the curtain. Today is Labor Day, yeah. And we're recording early. So
is this
typically we wouldn't
Gabe got
one.
It I see the okay so he, mm-hmm. so what are the questions? I need to not read his answers.
Okay, all right, so we're gonna go from easy to hard.
Yeah.
And the first question is, who is the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher this year?
Dolores Umbridge.
Nailed it.
Leave that in, Patrick.
Nope.
That mm-hmm. did get the last 3% of people we didn't upset in this episode covered.
What's
it
funny
just
is,
now.
I don't even know great. That Lauren heard
nailed
it,
it.
But okay.
I did.
Oh,
and I
okay.
appreciated it. But I just don't disagree in any way whatsoever, so I love it. All right, medium question is, what is the name of the house elf who resides in 12 Grimald Place?
Bobby. I don't know who it is.
No, it's hang on, don't say it. Mm-hmm. It's, oh my gosh, I know it. It's, Not monster, it's creature.
Oh, you're yes. Woo, yeah. Good job. I'm like, no, you got there.
Was the son of a creature, man. Yes, he was.
And then I did ask you guys this the other day, so maybe you've done your research since then. What are Ron and Hermione's Patronuses? Oh, no, I told you, so cheating.
Yeah, a little puppy dog. Although Gabe came in with the very exacting answer of Jack Russell Terrier. Yes. And then Otter.
Yeah. Gabe has clearly read the books because that is like how it's described in the books.
Gabe also has probably taken the Parks and Rec Who Is Your Dog challenge. Do you guys remember that?
No.
They assign dog breeds to each of the people.
I just like Gabe. Gabe's a good dude.
You dislike him?
I don't know.
No, I just like him. I like it. I like Gabe Barletta. That's what I'm saying. And he's
so
talented and he's nice and he's good at having children because he's got a bunch of them.
He has two. Do you remember?
That's more than Patrick has.
That's true. It's 200%. Do you remember what kind of dog Donna Meagle was by any chance, Lauren?
She wasn't. She was a cat.
Bingo. All right. Cool.
I would have said Beagle for obvious reasons.
Yeah, because
she does. I believe
dog,
that April guesses she's
Meagle,
a husky
Beagle.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
I could
right.
nail some Parks and Rec.
Well, it was a poodle first. The very first one was a poodle, and she says, "I'm done with this," because she says, "You're pretty,
you're
and
pretty,
you like,
yeah."
I'm gonna throw this out there. If you're really great at Parks and Rec trivia, we've got someone else that is really great at Parks and Rec trivia. I wouldn't mind hosting either a Parks and Rec trivia night, an Office trivia night, and a Friends trivia night.
Okay, I'll put up a prize for the Parks and Rec one. I'll put up one of my Ron Swanson pins.
Yeah, Ron. Your Ron Swanson pin is sitting just behind the screen. It's one of the handful of pins I can see between my screen and my laptop.
He's
look at that thing
you.
All the time. It's one of my favorites.
Man, and we can.
Thanks.
Man, okay. I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, we'll do this.
On
this will
air.
Be fun.
We're gonna do trivia. We'll figure out the details off air, but just expect it. I've got ideas now. Got ideas.
And with people. Like, people will be able to participate in the trivia.
Yes, it's not going to be just
trivia.
Three people. Like, we're going to make it so it's participatory.
All right, so that's it. We've talked to you a lot. We've told you about a lot of stuff to go purchase, a lot of stuff to play, a lot of stuff to watch, a lot of stuff to listen to.
A lot of stuff you're not going to want to imagine.
Yeah. If you're still with us, maybe you should get a prize for still being here. But thank you for joining us for this episode. You can find all the show notes and links over at mofone.network. While you're there, you can buy one of our really cool pins that we did with Colin Schlicht. You can join our Slack channel at mofone.network/Slack. Join the conversation there. Our social media is at mofonepodcast everywhere. Our Maker's Dozen is dropping at each and every week, and there's new people, new content each and every day during the work week, and you can subscribe to that on there. What else is there? Drop us a line on iTunes, rate and review the show. If you haven't rated and reviewed this show, please go do that, first of all. But then also go rate and review our new show, which is the Pondering Potter podcast, which is on its own feed. That helps it out a lot. So go listen to that. We're 5 weeks into that 8-week miniseries or 7-week miniseries. I can't remember. And we have some like additional content coming out on that as well. So join that feed now. But I think, Patreon. Go to patreon.com/mofonepodcast and you can join at a tier $2, $4, or $6. And that
please
helps us
do
out
that.
So much.
Please, because we are helpful. We're making a lot of content for you people. We love doing it, but this would help us do an even better job.
Yeah, good Lord, help us out. if this episode hasn't shown you that we need help, I don't know what content to put up there. This whole episode is a cry for help. but we're going to jump out of this episode. You can find me at Andrew Sale with threes instead of E's. Lauren?
I'm over at Not Cool Co. or Not Cool Company.
Patrick?
Squatch.in. That's at Squatch.
But for now, I'm Andrew.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Patrick.
Peace out.
Adios.
I forgot it was my turn.